23 this morning. Psalm 23, we're getting down to the end. We're at the last verse. Tonight, this morning I want to talk to you about God's sheepdogs, found in verse 6. We'll read the scripture in just a bit. But first of all, two men were traveling on an airplane. One was taking a nap. The other was busy working on a crossword puzzle. He nudged his napping friend and he said, "What's a word with three letters with the letter O in the middle and it's man's best friend?" He said, "Well, that's easy. It's dog." But dog didn't fit. And he worked at the puzzle a little longer and he said, "The last letter is D." And so the middle letter is O, the last letter is D. In describing man's best friend, they never did think of the letter, what do you think that word was? G, God. They never thought of the letter G. But you know, God is really man's best friend. Proverbs tells us that we have a friend, it's talking about Jesus, we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And we serve a good God. He is our good shepherd, right? And he's good because, let's see if you remember, he's good because he died for us. He's the great shepherd because he lives for us. And he's the chief shepherd because he's coming again for us. If you really don't get anything out of the whole series that we preached, I want you to get that. That Jesus is Jehovah God. He is our good shepherd because he died for us. He's our great shepherd because he lived for us. And he is the chief shepherd because he's coming again for us. For several weeks, we have looked at this psalm, and we have come now to the final words and verse of this psalm. And from the opening words to the closing thoughts, David has shared the secrets to facing all the days of his life. He's given us a manual, really, here of how we can find satisfaction in life. You know, it's not grin and bear it. It's not tie a knot in the rope and hang on. But he's given us some truths about God that help us face whatever situations we have to go through in life, and to find the source, to find that God is man's best friend. In Psalm 103, the first five verses, I think fit Psalm 23 really well, as the psalmist recounts the sheep's benefits in knowing the shepherd. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." And the overall theme of our particular study here on Psalm 23 has been the secret of satisfaction. How to find satisfaction in life. And David now, he is completely satisfied with what life has had to offer. He's fully contented with the care that he has received. He's so much at home with the shepherd that there is not a shred of desire to change it. He loves that situation. And as far as the shepherd side goes, there's been such affection and devotion and loving care toward his sheep. And so David is writing this psalm from the standpoint of a sheep, not a shepherd, but really as one of God's sheep. And he's, I believe, recounting a full year's activity in this psalm. He's taken us from the green pastures and the still waters. And then he takes us up through mountain passes to the high tablets of tablelands of summer. And then the fall, there's storms and there's rain and there's sleets and there's the valley of the shadow of death. And finally he takes us all the way home. Now, if you haven't there, turn to Psalm 23. If you did not do that earlier, I'd like you to look at this psalm again with me this morning. And I'm going to read the first five verses, and then I'd like us to read verse 6 together, okay? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Everyone altogether. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. I don't know if it was by divine design or worship team design, but all the songs that they picked this morning go right along with this psalm. As David comes to his final thoughts in this psalm, we find him thinking about the goodness and mercy of the Lord that has followed him all the days of his life. Guy King describes the scene in verse 6 as the nightfall reflection. David is thinking about the days behind him, the days before him, and the days beyond him. And as he does, I can't help but think David probably looked up into heaven, maybe even raised his hands and said, "Hallelujah, what a shepherd. Hallelujah, what a shepherd." And as we come to the end of this psalm and as we expound on it today, I hope that you leave here today looking up to the heavens and saying, "Hallelujah, what a shepherd." And David is an old man as he writes this psalm. He's seen tragedies in his life. He's seen disappointments. He's known failure. But he's also come to know God as a good shepherd that gave him more than he even deserved. And as we think about this, we can understand that the good shepherd has provided. David says, "All that I have needed, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, lack any good thing. There's peace, I have rest from my weary journey. There's protection, he has safety from all his enemies. There's providence, God the shepherd has guided him in times of confusion. There is presence, he had companion, the companionship of God when he was lonely. And then there is paradise. He has a home that is waiting for him in heaven, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David knew that God was beneath him in green pastures. God was beside him in still waters. God was before him at the table. God was behind him, pursuing him with goodness and mercy. God was preparing within him a heavenly home. And with all that, David recognizes the good shepherd has given him far more than he deserved. And I think if we really look at it in our life as well, we can say that God has given us way more than we ever deserved. Let's consider these final words. And actually, it's going to be two parts to this verse, two messages. Today, we're going to look mostly at surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And next week, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But the first thing that we want to do is we want to take a look at the days that are behind us. And when we look at the days that are behind us, it should fill us with adoration. David had a couple of companions that were with him all the days of his life. Throughout the psalm, he has portrayed the shepherd as the one that was out in front, as the one who was leading his sheep from being in front of them, never driving them, but always leading them on. But now he talks about goodness and mercy that were behind him, goodness and mercy following him every day of his life. You know, God treats you the way one mother treated her young son, Timmy. She didn't like the idea of his walking to school alone, but he was too grown up to be seen with his mother. So she did her best to stay calm. She would quote the 23rd Psalm to him every morning before he went to school. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." One day she asked a neighbor who, who walked with her daughter to school to follow Timmy to school, but, you know, to stay at a safe distance. And after several days, Timmy's little friend said, "Do you know that woman who follows us to school?" "Sure," Timmy answered. "That's Shirley Goodnest and her daughter Marcy. My mom reads about them every day in the 23rd Psalm. She says they will follow me all the days of my life, so I better get used to them." The point is that Shirley Goodnest and Marcy do follow us all the days of our life, and we need to get used to them following us. God never sends us out alone. That last verse of Psalm 23, I love it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me once in a while, a few times, all the days of my life. You know, for years, I really didn't get it. I didn't understand. I pictured myself walking along, and maybe 50 yards behind me is goodness and mercy following. And I thought, how is that good news? You know, if goodness and mercy are behind me, how is that really good news? And then I understood a crucial Hebrew word, that word follow. It means to pursue, to set off after someone in order to catch them. So it's not that they're following at a distance, they're pursuing us so that they can catch us. They're pursuing us every day. You realize that? Goodness and mercy are pursuing you, are catching you every day of your life. If you were speeding, nobody here ever does that, but let's pretend that you were speeding down the road and all of a sudden those red lights start flashing, red and blue lights start flashing behind you, and they are pursuing you. They're catching up to you. And you go, oh no, here comes a ticket. Just what I need. But this is what God does. God pursues us. He puts his lights on and he pursues us and he pulls us over. But he doesn't give us a ticket. Instead, he shows us greater goodness and mercy. You realize that one day God is going to pull you over, and in his goodness and mercy, he's not going to give you a ticket. He's going to take you to heaven. He's going to take you home. Can you imagine that? A home that is being prepared for you at absolutely no cost to you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. For imagine a policeman pulling you over today and saying, I'm going to show you some goodness and mercy. I'm going to take you to a brand new house that somebody has paid for you. I'm going to give you a new place to live, and your life is going to be filled with God's goodness and mercy. We would take it. But greater blessings from God are available to us than even that. And then there's this powerful promise. Faith means trusting all that God promises to be to us in Christ Jesus. Here it is God's promise that he will pursue you and catch you so that he can show you goodness and mercy. And he will do this every single day. Right now, today, God is pursuing you. God is following you with the idea of catching you to show goodness and mercy. What a powerful promise. Charles Spurgeon said, this is a fact as indisputable as it is encouraging. And therefore a heavenly verily or surely is set as a seal upon it. Only goodness and mercy, for there shall be unmingled mercy in our history. Goodness and mercy. Harry Ironside used to say that goodness and mercy are like two sheepdogs that keep sheep where they belong. And so that's why I got the title of the message this morning. God's two sheepdogs. They are goodness and mercy. And the relationship between the shepherd and the sheepdog is almost magical. How that sheepdog knows exactly what the master wants those sheep to do. Researchers have been studying this for centuries. They were wondering how a single dog could herd an unruly flock of more than 100 sheep. And what they've discovered is that the dog sees white fluffy things, and if there's a gap between them, that gap starts to get bigger. That sheepdog works to bring the sheep into a close net, into a closer group. The first rule, there's really just two rules. The first rule the sheepdog learns is how to make the sheep come together in one flock so that there's not any stragglers out there. There's none wandering behind over here, but to keep them condensed together into one flock. And whatever the sheep are in that tight-knit group, then the second thing the dog does is to move the sheep forward, is to keep them going ahead. And that's what God does. God wants all things together to come together in our life. All things working together for good. And then being able to drive us forward to keep going closer to Him in our relationship. And as I thought about that, I believe that that's not what God wants to do just individually, but don't you think that's what God wants to do with us as a church, as His flock? As we are all a member of His flock. Yeah, we're each individual sheep, but together we make up His flock. And I believe that God has His sheepdogs of goodness and mercy drawing us together. And He knows if there's somebody that is not really with the flock, He wants you with the flock. He wants a tight-knit group. And then so He can get us together, and then He can move us forward. God's sheepdogs, goodness and mercy. As we look, we see that the Lord is in control of all things. The word goodness describes that which is good. It really becomes enlightening when you find that the word is sometimes translated best or better. God wants not only what's good for you, God wants what's better for you than what you have right now. God wants ultimately what's best for you. And when David looks back and sees that goodness has followed him all the days of his life, I believe that he is echoing that New Testament promise in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. You know, when David looked back on his life, not everything was bright, was it? There were times that life was delightful, but there were also times when life was distressful. There were times when life was disappointing, discouraging, and difficulty. There were valley experiences. He didn't always live in the mountain, but he walked through valleys. And even so, David reflects on those days, and he realizes that even in the valley, even in the difficult and troublesome times, God was working all things together for good. God was working all things together for good, where He would lead him to that tableland. Life has been a mixture of happenings, yet they all work together for good. And in your life and my life as well, sometimes it's hard to, really, isn't it hard to distinguish what is good and what's not? And God is working all things together for good, bringing about all of these happenings in our life for a greater good. Joseph, I think, is the great example of this in the Scriptures. When he said to his brethren, "You thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." See, Joseph looked at the whole picture and he says, as I look back, really, it was God's goodness and mercy that has brought me to this place, because I'm at a place and a point in my life now where I am able to save you and much people from this famine. If God had not brought me to this place, if God had not brought me to the throne room of Egypt, we would have starved with this famine. But God has brought me here so that I could feed you and we could preserve the lives of many people. It was God's plan. And so Joseph realized that God was in charge of the circumstances of his life. And as we look back, we see that goodness has followed us all the days of our life. Someday we're going to look back. Even today we might have some questions and wonder, you know, what was the good out of that situation? But we'll look back someday and we'll say the Lord has been in control of all that has happened. And even though at times his face seemed to be hidden, now I can see his handprint. I can see his handwriting on all of it. And nothing, absolutely nothing happened in my life that God did not allow for some good purpose. That God is sovereign. God is in control of all things. Goodness has followed me all the days of my life. It might take several days. It might take several weeks. It might take several months. It might take several years. But eventually we're going to look back and say, all things work together for good. Charles Spurgeon said, although the people of God meet with many seemingly rubs and setbacks in their way to heaven, which are like contrary winds to a ship, yet they are, from the day of their conversion to the day of their complete salvation, never out of a trade wind's way to heaven. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Goodness is following you. Do you believe that this morning? Can you trust God in every situation that it's his goodness that is being worked out? Even if you can't understand it right now, trust God because he's only good. And then God's compassion at all times. Not only goodness followed, but mercy and loving kindness. It has been suggested that David had more to fear about the past than he did the future. I mean, we've all heard about David's failures. We know that he was not squeaky clean. We know that there were some dark and dirty spots on his past. And David recalled his sins of the past with great shame and sorrow. He even confessed in Psalm 51 that his sin was ever before him. You know, no doubt that David, there were times in his life when he just kind of smacked himself up in the head and said, what did I do that for? You know, that's something I wish I could take that back. I wish I wouldn't have said that. I wish I wouldn't have done that. Boy, that was just so dumb. What was I thinking? And yet, as he looks back, he says, mercy has followed me all the days of my life. When he failed God, did God cast him off and away? No, he was said, you rebellious, stubborn lamb. Even though you did this, you're part of my flock. And I love you. And when he wandered, the shepherd went and got him and showed him mercy. No doubt David had prayed many times the prayer of Psalm 25:7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Robert J. Morgan wrote, there is no R on the stick shift, no reverse in the gears. Time never moves backward, not an inch, not a step, never. The hands of the clock always move clockwise, and the pages of the calendar are torn off in one direction. Therefore, a deed once done can never be undone. A word spoken can never be unsaid. An opportunity missed cannot be reclaimed in exactly the same way. As a result, all of us live with certain regrets. That's true. But there is a thing called mercy. And there is a God who is a God of second chances. And someday, just when as we look back and we say, goodness followed me all the days of my life, we're going to look at it, we're going to say, mercy has followed me all the days of my life. You know, God showed me mercy when I didn't deserve mercy. But God gave me mercy. God gave me mercy anyway. In David's prayer of repentance for his great sins, he prayed, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And he found that God did that for him. God showed him mercy, and God blotted out his transgressions, so he could say in Psalm 66:20, "Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." Robert L. Moyer wrote, "Think of what David saw when he looked back. Think of the bitter memory of adultery and murder. Any man with such a past might well be filled with fear." And then he says, "What about your past? I sometimes shudder when I think of my own sinful past, and yet when I turn to look at that past, between the past and the present stands goodness and mercy." I like that. Between the past and the present stands God's two sheepdogs, goodness and mercy. Before I move on, I want to stress that word surely. It means this, it means only, only. When we look back, we have to say that only goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of our lives. There has not been a moment in your life when God's goodness and mercy were not at work in your life. And in Psalm 106 and verse 1, "His mercy endureth," how long? Forever. Forever. Again, it was Harry Ironside who told the story of a poor dear lady who lived by herself. She was possessed with the fear that two men were following her everywhere she went. So she came to see her pastor about it. She said, "Pastor, I have a very serious problem." "What is it?" he asked. She said, "Everywhere I go, two men follow me. When I get on the streetcar, they get on too. When I come home, they are still behind me." The pastor asked if she had reported the problem to the police. "Yes," she said, "but they say they're not there." "But I know that they are there. They're always there." The pastor, realizing the situation, said to her, "Oh, you are a most blessed woman. Do you know who these two men are?" She said, "No, do you?" "Oh, yes," he said. "They are David's friends." And then he turned to Psalm 23 and read to her those words, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And then he said, "Those two men that are following you, their names are goodness and mercy. God has sent them. God has sent them to you to follow you all the days of your life." She said, "Pastor, that's wonderful. And to think that all this time I've been afraid of them." And from that time on, she would go to the streetcar and wait for goodness and mercy to get on with her. When she got home, she'd open the door to goodness and mercy. I want you to know, church, yeah, there are two guys following you. They're sent from God. Two dogs God has sent to follow you. Goodness and mercy. And they're going to follow you all the days of your life. So you might as well get used to them being there. The second look that we see David take is a look at the days before him. And the look at the days before us fill us with appreciation. As David speaks of goodness and mercy, this heavenly rear guard, he doesn't speak of them as just companions of the past. He does not say, "Surely goodness and mercy have followed me." What's he say? He says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Do you see the difference there? It's not just something that happened in the past in your life. They continue to follow you, to pursue you. It means a couple of things. It means that they consistently follow us. How long will they follow us? They will follow us all the days of our life. F.B. Meyer speaks of all the days and the kind of days that will come, saying there are spring days when all the world shall be full of glad young life. There are summer days in which the year shall have reached its glorious prime and golden light. There are autumn days when the field shall be filled with sheaves of corn and rich produce of the year. as well as these days, there are the winter days when we gather around the bier of the departed glory of the year and lay it to the dust. He says, yet it matters not if there are spring, summer, autumn, or winter days. Goodness and mercy shall be following us. And then he asks this question. He says, what lies in the course of the years? Will the days be golden, lit by heaven's warm, sunny glow? Will they be red letter, not only in the usual sense of the word, but because stained with the blood of suffering and sacrifice? Will they be drab, attired in somber tints, dark and sad? What do the days ahead have in store for us? That we do not know. But Meyer's concluding words say it best, but there will never come a day throughout all the future in which we shall not have the two guardian angels, heavenly escorts, and God-sent messengers, goodness and mercy, to attend the believer during all the days of his earthly pilgrimage. God's sheepdogs, God's heavenly escorts, God-sent messengers, whatever you want to call them, they're there. Somebody has suggested we call them God's footmen. You know, the wealthy people, when they traveled, they had two footmen, usually two, that traveled with them. And when he sat on the couch, they would stand behind him on the couch. They went everywhere that he went, making the way smooth for him. Wherever he went, they were always there. When the coach stopped, they would jump out of the coach and they would open the door for him. They would hurry up up to his room to make sure that the room was just right, to make sure that the supper was ready to be served. God's two footmen, goodness and mercy, follow us and prepare for us a smooth journey to our heavenly home. Isn't it nice to know goodness and mercy will never take a vacation? They are not going to be caught off guard. And they persistently follow us at all as well. David says, these companions will follow all the days of our life. And that word follow, interesting word. Remember, it means to pursue. It means to hunt down. One translated the words, goodness and mercy shall pursue us, dogging our footsteps. I like that. Here's these two sheepdogs, dogging our footsteps. Everywhere we go, biting at our heels, nipping at our heels, just to make sure that we stay in line, that we're together and we're going in the right direction. They will pursue us. The final look that we see David taking is that he takes a look at the days that are beyond him, and it fills him with anticipation. Just real quickly, I'm not going into this point. This will be more of next week, but it does have a happy ending. And you talk about David's happy ending, his closing thoughts taken beyond the days of this earth. Takes him beyond the thoughts of this world to another world, to an eternal life that is to come. And he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You notice it's a house. It's not a tent. Just not any old lodging place. It's home. It's home. He sees the days beyond as the day that he gets home. William Avery Rogers described how each year in the land there came a time when the weather conditions hindered the shepherd and sheep from straying out on the open range and in the temporary fold. When this time came, the shepherd turned his sheep toward his own home, where he had made for them a more permanent place. He also described how the sheep would know they were home, for they would jump about and swish their tails with joy. What a day. We used to sing that song a lot. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. What a day, glorious day that will be. I think we'll jump for joy. We don't have tails to swish, but we have hands that we can raise. And I believe that we'll just reach out to God You know what we're going to say? Hallelujah. What a shepherd. Have your heads bowed, your eyes closed this morning. I don't know where you are in your Christian journey right now. For some of you, it might be spring. Some of you, it might be summer. Everything is in full bloom. For some of you, it might be the dog days of summer. Some, it might be fall. For some, it might even be winter time. It's a cold existence. And you're going through some difficult trials. Maybe it's because of something that you have done. Maybe it's because of no fault of your own. And you're trying to make sense of it. And you wonder where the shepherd is and why he led you to this place. Christian, I want you to know that you are not there by accident. God has brought you to this place for a purpose. It's part of his design. But he has not left you. He has not left you. And even in this situation, he is going to work it out for good. He's going to work it out for good. And I wonder if you could just say to him right now, right where you're sitting, just whisper it. Lord, I don't understand. But I know you are my great shepherd. And I trust you that you will work this out for good. I don't know how you will do it, but I trust you to do it. I trust you to work it out for my good and for your glory. I tell you, God will do that. God wants to bring good in your life, as we talked about last week, really. But he, even more than that, he wants you to glorify him. He wants all of your life to glorify him. So don't fight against him. Don't make those sheepdogs work too hard. Don't make them bite you at your heels. But say, Lord, where you lead, I will follow. Where you take me, I will be satisfied. I think God wants you and me, all of us, to learn what Paul had to learn. He had to learn it, just didn't happen. But he said, I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I've learned the secret of satisfaction in all things. And that's where God wants to lead you today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, could you say a prayer for me? Could you pray for me? The time in my life is a time where I'm walking through a valley. And there's some difficult days and some difficult times. But Pastor, pray for me, but I want you to know this, Pastor. I am trusting God for goodness and mercy. Could I see your hand this morning? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All over the place this morning. My heart is glad for you because goodness and mercy are following you and they're pursuing you. You just slow down and pull over. Let them catch you. So that they can show you greater goodness and greater mercy. Father, so many hands here today. So many people in the valley. But that just means, Lord, that there are so many people that you want to show goodness to, that you want to show mercy to. And I pray, Lord, that as you are pursuing them, Lord, that they would stop running from you. They would just put on the brakes and pull over so that you can give them goodness and mercy. Lord, do that today. Give them goodness. Give them mercy. Lord, and if it's possible that they could have just even a glimpse of the reason for the suffering, the reason for the trial, and the goodness and the glory that will result will be the end result of it. But Lord, even so today, we realize that someday all injustices are going to be done. And we look forward to the time when goodness and mercy allows us to dwell in the house of the Lord, your house, your home, forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Could we stand? Let's